Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he is not in the tomb, for he is risen and he is alive. He's not a babe in the manger, but he's a king on a throne. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and right now he is interceding on our behalf. And I love that about the Lord. We celebrate the Lord's resurrection because in it he shows us his faithfulness, even though at times we are not faithful. And that his promises for you and for me are set and they are sure. They're not dependent on our strength or our abilities, but upon his. Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to leave them. And if you could just imagine what they thought, they've given everything to follow this man called the Christ. They've given up their jobs, their families, their reputations, their money. And now he says, hey, I got to go to the Father. I'm going to leave you. Imagine what they thought, but he comforts them. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. But I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long, and yet have you not said to me, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can they say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you are not, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Jesus is displaying his love, his grace, his mercy, and compassion of the Father. And Jesus then began to tell them what their relationship would look like when he's gone as well. He told them in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and the Father will give you another helper. He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will dwell in you. He then gives the powerful illustration. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, Jesus is showing us that through this illustration that God wants to be close to us as a branch is close to a vine. One is an extension of the other. If you've ever seen a vine, you can't tell where the vine starts and the branch begins. It's all connected together. The branch constantly drawing nutrition and nutrients from the vine. That's the relationship that he tells us that we have with him. He tells the disciples, I'm no longer going to be with you, but here's what it's going to look like. As a vine is attached to the branches, or the branches attached to the vine, so you need to be attached to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God also uses the temple to show us the intimacy he desires. Paul says, did you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and given to you by God? A temple that the Holy Spirit dwells with. He doesn't dwell in the physical building, the structures, but he dwells in the people. This is what he says, I'm going to the Father. This is where he went. He died on the cross and went to the Father, and he's there preparing a place for us. But while he's gone, he says, I will send you the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. The way the disciples have that relationship will change, but Jesus will always be present by the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years ago, last Thursday night, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And suddenly there were torches approaching as the Roman soldiers snaked their way into the garden. He was betrayed by his friend Judas for 30 pieces of silver. The soldiers arrested him in the dark of the night. He was bound and dragged before 7 illegal trials. The high priests and the guards covered his face and beat him And others struck him with open palms, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?" On Friday, the crowds who hailed him king are now yelling, "Crucify him," as they shook their fists in anger. He was flogged and beaten by those he came to save. They hoisted the wooden beam across his shoulders and made him drag it through the streets up to Mount Calvary, where they laid him on the cross and drove spikes through each of his hands. They pinned his feet one on top of the other and drove a spike through both of his feet. The cross was then hoisted up, and there our Lord and Savior hung to suffer at the hands of those he loved. You've heard it said that it wasn't the nails that held him on the cross, but it was his love for you and for me. Listen, he did all of this for us, so that we could be with him forever. God created man to have this relationship with him. In the Garden of Eden, God walked with man, provided for man. When man sinned against God, sin separated God from man. But God didn't leave us in that state, and we'll talk a little bit about it. While the soldiers mocked him and taunted him from below, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And at the 3 o'clock hour, he said, "It is finished," and breathed his last breath. He descended into hell, and his body was placed in a tomb. Now, we know that this is not the end of the story, certainly not. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. Our faith is predicated on behalf that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but that he rose from the dead as he said he would. Now, Jesus could have said, and I can't help but to think this, I'm going to die and then I'm going to rise in the spirit. How would we know it was true? His body would still be in the tomb. And yet he says, "I'm going to rise not only spiritually, but you're going to see me physically as well." Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to draw, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and he rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, I have told you." And so they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And you know, I think it's so important that we comfort and encourage one another with this hope that God has given us. Because Jesus is alive today, we will live with him forever. Those who believe in him, those who are his children, will live with him forever. Those whose visions at times are clouded by the worries of life, the concerns of the world, they might forget the promises of God, for he is risen, as he said. That's his promise. That's his promise to you and me. I'm sure you would agree with me that we all need to be reminded sometimes of how much God loves us. Certainly when we find ourselves in difficult situations of life, how can this be happening to me? And yet, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, Jesus didn't save them from that trial. He jumped in right with them. He's there right with you. And his promises he will get you through it. And that's what he does in our life. We need to remember that. Not just when we go to heaven, everything's going to be great, but while we're here, his spirit dwells within us to comfort us, to guide us, to direct us. What is the message this morning? What is asked of us? Well, the answer is found in our text that I read. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. If the message of this Easter Sunday is to come and see and go and tell, and our commission is so vital to humanity because God has calculated us in his plan to save the world, How is that, Pastor? He tells you and me to go and make followers of Christ. Go and make disciples. Teach them everything I taught you. And lo, I will be with you. That's his promise. That's his commission. So I would like to make three brief points. Our three points for today are, if you're taking notes, life is short, God is good, and heaven is real. Life is short, God is good, and heaven is real. James asked that question, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Isn't that true? I looked in the mirror the other day, I said, who is this? The gray hairs are moving right in. Oh my goodness, where'd the time go? I'm 52 years old. I remember being young, man, that's old, man. When you were in your 20s, 52, you're over there. That's it, you know. Where'd the time go? Isaiah tells us, all flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like a flower of the field. The grass, it withers. And the flower fades. But the word of God, the promises of God, stand forever. Now compared to eternity, don't miss this morning, please. Our life on earth, our time here on earth, cannot be calculated. It is just a blip in time compared to eternity, right? Richard Evans says, the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it, right? The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. If our commission is to come and see and go and tell, how much time do we have left? I mean, think about that. How much more time are you going to live? The answer to that is you have no idea. So the point is to make every effort to do the will of God in your life. Number one, to be saved by his grace, right? To surrender your life to the Lord. And then allow him to use you for his plans and his purposes, right? I got to show you this illustration real quick to make a point. Let's pretend like this rope is eternity. It continues as far as it can go. As far as eternity. Never stops. Infinity, right? This rope is infinity. This is what life is eternally. Okay? And this little red mark right here is your life now on earth. This little bit of time compared to all of this. Now, many of us are spending so much time worrying about this little stuff down here. Oh, I'm going to work so hard so I can enjoy this little bit of time. Are you kidding me? Think about that. If this is a blip in our life, because it's just a little dot between the time we're born and the time we die. This is it. We spend so much time worrying about this. Oh, I got to work and work and work and work, and then I'm going to retire this little bit of time here like that. I'm going to rest. If we only have this much time, and what we do in this little bit of time depends on where we go and what happens here. Where is our mindset as believers and students of the Word of God? Is this all we're worried about? Is this it? Because this really doesn't matter. This is think about a vapor. Boom, it's gone. Think about a flower. It blooms in the morning. By the afternoon, the sun has beaten it. It's gone. It withers away. Well, this is what's happening to our bodies. They're withering away. You can go to the gym all you want. You can do whatever you want. They're withering away. This tent that the Spirit dwells in is withering away. It's not going to last forever. So instead of worrying about all of this, let's be mindset of all of this, right? Eternity, the rest of our lives, what is going to happen? And God shows us how to live this so we can enjoy all this, right? Think about that. Let me give you this illustration one more time. This is eternity, in case you forget, and this is this little blip. Your life is just a blip in time compared to all of this. So if our mind is focused on the things of the Lord, we won't get bogged down in this little blip of called life. That we don't have to spend this whole thing called life in a state of worry or depression or concern. Why? Because God's got my end in control, right? His promise for me is set, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. He has gone to his Father's house. This is what he's done when he rose again from the dead. He's at his Father's house. He says he's coming back to receive us unto himself, so that where he is, we will be with him forever. He did it all for you. The cross, the suffering, the leaving heaven, all the things were for you. Why? Because sin had separated you from God, and the penalty of that sin was death. So Jesus came, paid that penalty of death, so that you wouldn't have to. I love that. It's not that you're innocent. Jesus went before Pilate and was silent. We would have been crying for the best attorneys around, right? I'm innocent. He was silent because he was standing there for you and me, and we're guilty. So the penalty has been paid. The invitation has been given. Life is short. Second point, God is good. God knew after Adam and Eve sinned, all mankind was doomed because of sin. But he didn't leave us in that fallen state. Why? Once again, because he loves you. And he wants to be with you forever. And to me, that is amazing, that God wants to be with me forever. I mean, I can see him wanting to be with you, but not with me, forever and ever. It just never ends. Consider eternity forever and ever. But that's why he made us, so that we would be with him forever. This is the good news of the gospel. It's not good news until you know the bad news. The bad news is the wages of that sin is death. The good news is he paid the price for it already. Life is short. God is good. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die in our place. Once again, listen, God wants to be with you forever. God is good. God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. That life is in his son. They that have the son have eternal life. Listen, the Spirit of God that we talked about, he's going to the Father, and if he goes to the Father, he will send his Spirit. The Spirit then dwells within those who believe, is a guarantee and a seal of your inheritance of the kingdom. This is what he says. This is his promise. And guess what? It's all his doing. He's going to carry us through. He's able to keep us from stumbling. It's not like God said, all right, you're saved, and okay, now it's up to you to make it the rest of the way. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Sometimes we feel like, all right, I got to make myself holy and righteous before God, or he's not going to let me in the kingdom. He paid the penalty once and for all. He sealed you with his Spirit, and that's your guarantee of your inheritance. Now, what happens to our lives? Well, they begin to change. I begin to want to be more like the Lord. Well, how do you know what the Lord's like? Well, we read about it. He shows us his character, his love, his compassion. He knew Judas was going to betray him, and yet, listen, he washed Judas's feet. Wow. How many of us would have done that? But he says, I'm giving an example for you to follow. I'm showing you what your life should look like. And what happens when we become believers in the Lord, he begins to change us. We're not the same people that we once were. We're not perfect, right? But we're better than who we were. And we're on our way, right? And listen, we affect the people around us. They're watching. They're listening. Some of them are waiting for you to fall. They can't wait for you to fall. Others are watching to see if is this real. Is he going to continue? Is she going to continue walking in this thing called Christ, this Christianity stuff? Because one day they're going to come to you and say, hey, you know, I watched your life and I need what you have. And that's the purpose, right? That's why he says you're salt of the earth. Salt creates thirst for living the living water, right? Our lives begin to change. We begin to affect those around us. I want to read you something. There's a brother in the church that was a crossing guard for a season, and he had to leave and get another job. And so he was just with the kids as a crossing guard in the morning and in the afternoon. So it was just a little blip of time each day. He'd have to be there like an hour or so in the morning, and then when school gets out in the afternoon. And the first day he says to this young man, would you please get off the bike when you cross the street? So the kid gets off the bike, crosses the street. At the end of the day, he comes back. He says, sir, why did you say please to me? No one's ever said please to me. Just one encounter with a young man. He saw something that he never saw before. That may sound silly to some of us, but it's reality to them. So when this man had to leave his job as a crossing guard, a young girl bought him a card. Obviously, the mother had to drive to the store and get the card. So it was planned out to buy him a card. And this is what she writes in the card. Thanks for being the best crossing guard I ever known. I will always remember you, no matter what. We will miss you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be the person I am now. Also, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be getting the grades that I'm getting right now. I'm just so thankful for you being, you believing in me. And I can't read the rest of it. But that's enough to bring tears to my eyes. This man just touched the lives of these kids crossing the street. And she says, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be getting the... Why? Because she's not getting that somewhere else. And she sees in this man a godly man, a father figure, who saw value in her. And just that one encounter with these kids are going to change their lives. Now, you might not think anything of that, smiling at someone, patting them on the back, but no one might be doing that to them at home. That might be the last thing they're getting. I never forget the story when I was in high school. There was a guy that everybody picked on, and he was bigger than me. I didn't pick on him, but I laughed as everybody else did. And then when I got saved, the Lord put him on my mind. He said, God, I want to apologize to this guy someday. If you bring him in my path, I will certainly apologize to him. So happens, I meet his brother. I get his phone number. I call him up. I said, hey, I just want to apologize to you. You know, I'm a believer now, and the Lord changed my life, and I pray that I would tell you this. And he says to me, well, what everybody didn't know is I was not only getting beat up at school, but I was getting beat up at home. We can affect the lives of people around us. God didn't save you so that you could just have a good life. He saved you so that you can affect the lives of others too. Life is short. How much time do you have? I mean, think about it. If you live to 50, if you live to 100, I'm already halfway through my lifespan, and we're not going to live to 100. Life is short. God is good. But heaven is real. Revelation 21, John tells us of a vision. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death and no more sorrow and no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these things, write these words that are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of living water, the water of life, freely to him who thirsts. Life is short. God is good. But heaven is real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There is a substance of things hoped for. That's heaven in the presence of God. Jesus right now is seated in the heavenly places. The evidence of things not seen is his transforming power living in those who believe. You couldn't change you. You were in bondage. You couldn't set yourself free, right? Your mindset was nothing about God. This was the last thing I thought I'd ever be doing. What happened? God came in and he changed us. And now we have that peace in our heart. We know where we're going for eternity. We're not so worried about the little things of life. And God is with us through his Spirit to help us along the path. There is evidence, but it's not necessarily visible. So sitting at the beach this morning, the wind is blowing in our hair. We can't see it, but we see the effects of it. And so people see the effects of the Spirit of God in you, and they're affected by that. We need to tell the lost world, those around us. We all have friends and family who are not believers. Oh, they may be coming to church. They may be saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. But Jesus says these words. Listen, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. And they're going to say, but didn't we do all these things in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Who are the people that are saying, Lord, Lord, to Jesus? The heathen's not saying, Lord, Lord, to Jesus. The heathen's not doing all these things in his name. It's going to be a lot of religious people who thought by their works and their association that they're going to make their way to heaven. But it's through Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. That's our message. The proof of that, the evidence of things not seen, is your changed life, your testimony. I was once blind, now I see. I was once this, and now look what God's doing in my life. Just a couple minutes a day with these kids, and look how they responded. The policeman who was assigned to this corner where this man does crossing guard went over and shook his hand and thanked him for everything he's done. That never happens. So it's an amazing thing how God uses us. Sometimes we see it, the effects of it, right? And sometimes we don't. We might not see any of it this side of heaven. When we get to heaven, we may say, hey, I'm here because you told me about the love of Christ and I got saved. Or you showed an example of a loving, godly man, and now my life has been changed. My marriage has been changed. I didn't have that in my life. This kid who says, why did you say please? Nobody said please to this kid in his home or in his surroundings. He saw something that will affect his future. Through his death on the cross, he makes a way for you to have a relationship with God. Through his resurrection, he gives you hope of a resurrection from death to eternal life. And through his Holy Spirit, he will change your life if you let him. Our life is short, but God is good. He's made a provision. And heaven is real. We all have sinned and deserve God's judgment, but here's God's remedy. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and you are saved.